This is Cricken for Audio.
Welcome to Cricken for Audio. This is Amit Verma. West Indies just won the second one-day international at Kingston, Jamaica by one run, with Dwayne Bravo bowling Yuvraj Singh with a slower ball after Yuvraj made 93. I'm chatting with Anand Vasu now, who wrote the bulletin for this match on cricketinfo.com and first interviewed Yuvraj in 1999 during the Under-19 World Cup that India won. Anand, tell me, in all these years, how has Yuvraj grown as a player?
There was never really any doubt about the fact that he could hit the ball and hit it much better than most others in his age group from the under-19s onwards. And when he came onto the Indian team and scored that 80-odd against Australia, it's confirmed that he could handle the pressure as well. What was in doubt was the fact that his temperament was ideally suited to hitting his way out of trouble, but he was not the greatest builder of an innings. As he got some experience under the belt, equally bowlers also were able to sort out specific weaknesses in his technique. One was a penchant to flash outside the off stump, and the second was a difficulty against the spinners early on, where he was trying to get out of trouble by sweeping. In recent times, he's been able to correct both those obvious flaws. While there's still some doubts outside the off stump, he's playing much straighter, and he's also reverted to the old stance where he used to keep his feet quite close together and play straight rather than trying to force the ball square of the wicket. Also, his breaking into the test side has meant that he's has more confidence in his ability, in the sense that he feels that he belongs. In this new scheme of things, with the way the team is playing right now, he gets to bat up the order a lot more, and this means that he has to necessarily take on the role of being a senior batsman and finishing games off. That, I think, he's done quite well. Even with the net run rate climbing, he knows that he's got the big shots. He's confident that if he stays at the pitch till the end, then more likely than not, India's going to win. That's been the big difference in his game of late.
Anand, Greg Chappell was announced as the Indian coach exactly 1 year ago. And in that time, Yuvraj has played 34 one-day internationals and he's averaged 55 with 500s, and this was his 750. How much of a role do you think Chappell has in Yuvraj accomplishing more of his potential?
It's fair to say that Chappell has quite a role to play, because Chappell understands two or three things that were critical to Yuvraj's game very well. The first is a basic batting technique, in the sense that the talent is obviously there, so it just needs some fine-tuning. And Chappell's thinking in terms of batting technique is very clear and very pure in terms of technique. And that has certainly helped Yuvraj. The second is the mental aspect, which is something that was considered suspect in Yuvraj's case. And Chappell's been able to work with Yuvraj quite closely and sort that bit out. The third also is the fact that Chappell has put so much faith in Yuvraj, in the sense that he understands how success and failure can work with a batsman in his role on the side, young cricketer just coming in, or whether he's someone trying to establish himself or as a senior. And Yuvraj is sort of just reaching that third phase. Maybe a happy coincidence that Chappell came along just as Yuvraj was ready to take on more responsibility, but it's worked well for him.
Anand, in the same period of time, Virender Sehwag has played 36 one-day internationals and he's averaged just 28 with just 450s in this time. What do you think is going wrong at the top of the order? A year and a half ago, we had three world-class openers to choose from in Ganguly, Tendulkar and Sehwag. And now it's really hard to come upon a good start.
It is a bit of a mystery what's happening with Sehwag, because apart from in the England series, where bowlers of a certain caliber were able to consistently exploit a weakness, which is the fact that he doesn't really play the pull or the hook and was getting into trouble with the short ball, he has not really been getting out in similar fashion each time. So it's not something, it's not a specific flaw that you can go back to the nets and work on. He's looked in very good touch each time he's batted, but just the runs haven't come. And at some point, the coach, the biomechanist, the trainer, whoever it is, someone will have to come up with something that can help him get his mindset right. And perhaps Sehwag may have to do that himself. But it's tough to say what's wrong, really, because he does the same thing and one day it brings him success and on another day he fails. And obviously, as the failures or the lack of success, because he has been getting his 20s and 30s, as these run of low scores pile on, the pressure gets more and more, as you've seen also with Mohammad Kaif. It doesn't seem to be anything wrong with him fundamentally, but the runs just aren't coming. Batsmen always talk about a poor run of form being turned around by just one big knock. But we'll have to see if that's the case or not, because it's not, at the moment, it's not really clear what's wrong with either of them.
I was chatting with Harsha Bhogle recently for an audio feature, and he pointed out that in Ganguly and Wright's time, India's openers in one-day internationals consistently got them off to really good starts, and that was the secret of their success. And it's quite the other way around in Chappell and Dravid's time, where people have been finishing games with much more efficiency. We won 17 chases in a row before this, and that has now ended. Do you see that as a cause for worry?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, India has played below par in both the games so far, and one result went their way and one went against them. Even this game was really too close to call till the end. India just hasn't batted well enough in either of the games. I suspect it's only a matter of time before the batting comes good, because it's not as though the pitches are especially tough to bat on, or that the West Indian bowling is so penetrative. There was hardly any movement either in the air or off the pitch. So it's this kind of collective batting failure in one-day internationals doesn't usually last very long. So I suspect this loss doesn't really mean much.
For a long time, people have been disdainful of West Indies and thinking of them as Brian Lara plus 10 men. How good a team do you think they are, really? I mean, even if India played below par, they've played pretty well to win this match from where they were. How strong a contender do you think they'll be for the World Cup next year?
I've got to say, I don't think they'll be a very strong contender. Of course, there's a certain advantage to playing at home. But with the West Indies team playing as they are at the moment, this is perhaps their first significant win in 20-plus games, not counting their performance against a very second-string Zimbabwe side. So I'm not sure. They still have a lot of work to do, in the sense they haven't figured out how they're going to use their all-rounders. One of the things that India has managed to do very well recently is have flexibility in the batting order, with using Irfan Pathan or Mahendra Dhoni in a floating manner, or even getting more overs out of some of their batsmen. West Indies haven't really managed to do that, and the personnel who've been entrusted with this task have changed. Chris Gayle has been one batsman who's been bowling a bit. There hasn't really been a bowler who's put up his hand and been able to bat. And the wicketkeeper slot, we have Dinesh Ramdhan doing so well in the test, but somehow he seems to be out of favour for the one-dayers, and Carlton Baugh's in. So I think West Indies still have a lot of things to resolve before the World Cup if they are to be serious contenders.
Thanks, Anand. That's it for today, folks. If you have any feedback, please write in to audio@crickinfo.com. This is Amit Verma, signing off for Crickinfo Audio.
This is Crickinfo Audio.